Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
My heart's desire is to pastor a church of spirit-led people, people that hear God's voice and know God's voice, that are spirit-led, that no matter what we face, we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. How many guys have a giant or two in your life that you're facing? Anybody, let me see your hands. You've got a giant or two that you're facing? Let's turn it around. Let's look at it a little differently. How many of you guys know you've defeated some giants in your life since you've been serving God? Man, wave to me. How about a hoot and holler on that one? Well, listen, and that's what giants are for. Giants are built to go down. They're built to just tumble. And we all face those things. There's anxiety, there's depression, there's fear, there's debt, there's sickness. All those things are just giants. And when you look in the Word, it's not just this isolated case of David defeating Goliath. Man, once David defeated Goliath, let me tell you what God's people did. They went on a rampage against giants. And I want to talk to you guys tonight about the Holy Spirit. I think that, you know, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a He. There's the person of the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand that, you know, Jesus at the Mount of Ascension said, I must go. It's to your advantage that I go. So that God could send a helper, another comforter. And really honestly, that word comfort is actually to even strengthen us, to give us power. You know, Acts 1:8 says that we receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And we'll be His witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Man, that's some power right there. That we're truly witnesses of, the whole thing, we have to look at God's kingdom and our lives in His kingdom as a trial. You know, that we come through His gates with thanksgiving and we enter his gates with praise and His courts with thanksgiving. See, and those courts are truly courts. You know, the Bible says that the devil stands before God day and night accusing us, bringing accusation. But Jesus being our paraclete, Jesus being our counsel, Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, He's making intercession. He's standing in the gap for us even right now. Even the things that we've been wrong about, even the things that we feel guilty or we feel shame about or we regret. Man, if I'd have you raise your hand if you got regrets, it's like, yeah, oh my gosh, it's too many to count. And you know what? God knew all that. Do you understand that your regret and your shame and your guilt was built into God's plan? Okay, I'm going to ask that question again. Do you understand that your regret and your guilt and your shame were built into God's plan? You know, God knew that way ahead of time. God knew how faulty we were. God knew that He had to rewire us. You know, that's why Paul wrote in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a transformation that happens in our life. Man, transformed. And how does that happen? That happens because God makes us a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away and all things become new. That happens because God then fills us. Remember Jesus stood in that water and John came over and said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, look, just stick with the plan. Hey, John, stay in your lane. Just baptize me. I've got to submit to this baptism of repentance. Man, watch what's going to happen. And what happened from heaven when he submitted to that baptism of repentance? The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. What happens in our lives? The Holy Spirit comes onto our life. For the first time, man, since Adam and Eve fell, the Holy Spirit came alive to people. Man, think about this. Think about being Spirit-led. Think about hearing God's voice. Think about knowing God's voice. Man, we know God, listen, and the power of his resurrection. There's a lot of people that know about God. But how many, who's out there that knows the power of that resurrection? I mean, how many people lose heart? How many people quit? How many people give up when the situation looks like it's dead? Have you ever done that? It's over. It's done. It's not breathing anymore. And you walk away. You know what I love about Christians? There's always hope. I can't tell you how many situations I've been in where somebody went to be with the Lord, and invariably there's somebody that comes up and says, "Man, let's go raise him up. Let's go bring him back to life." Because there's this sense that, man, there's a power in this resurrection. See, we look at this, and let me just tell you, and I'm kind of ranting a little bit tonight, if you don't mind, because we're gonna have some ministry time here in about 20 minutes, okay? And it's not gonna be for the faint of heart. There's gonna be some people that wuss out that, I think you can say that. I'm sure the Baptists say that, okay? So there's gonna be some people that kind of faint at this, okay? And I know that. There's gonna be people that pride's gonna come up and they're gonna sit in their chairs all like this, all bowed up and like a toad. But I'm great with toads in church. It's great. Except for that curse of that on Egypt. That's a bad day for toads. Okay, but listen. The idea of this is that, man, the Holy Spirit comes upon our lives. Why? Man, it's so that we're not just walking around with, the Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit that's the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, he works in congruence with God's Word, with Jesus, the Word made flesh. See, they come together. And in Ephesians, you guys bring your Bibles? Let's get in the Word here for about 15 minutes, and then let's just see what God does. Anybody, will you just do me a favor? You guys watching online, will you just be open to the Spirit of God tonight? Can I see your hands if you'll just be open to the Spirit of God? Okay, look, Sheer, I'm just gonna be open tonight. I'm gonna make myself a little bit, and when I say open, see, there's a door in your heart. Did you know that? And Antoine, you know what I said? Antonio, there's a door in your heart. And you know what? And I don't think many people swing that door open and say, "Come on in, God." I think they go like this. And they look through this, like this. They're looking through. It's like, "What are you doing?" It's like, I'm opening the door. No, you're not. You're just opening. You're kind of, you know, your heart's not built with a peek, like one of those peek holes where you're looking and going, "Oh my gosh, it's God." Act like we're asleep. Because here's the deal. God, Jesus wants to be Lord of all. Do you understand that? That means you got to change everything. But you know how we do it. You know how guys like you and I do it? Give me some love, man. How guys like you and I do it is let's do that again, okay? Like fellas, okay? And like you and I do it, we do it in drips. We just kind of drip. Okay, God, I'm going to change. Instead of me pouring out my life, it's a drink offering. I'm going to drip it out. You know what I'm saying? A slow drip of, it's like that moonshine show. You guys watch Moonshiners? And it's like, "Oh my gosh, here it goes." But anyway, I watch it every week, okay? Well, Tickle got out of jail this week too. So how about that, huh? So Tickle, if you're watching this, I'm telling you, stay out of jail. But Ephesians 5, tell me when you're there. Don't act like you don't watch. You guys watch The Bachelor, and at least that's got a little bit of, I don't know what moonshine, I don't know what we're doing. They dance funny. Okay, Ephesians 5:15. "See then that you walk circumspectly." In the margin of your Bible, here's what I've written. Here, you write this down, okay? To walk circumspectly, you avoid mistakes and bad consequences. Any of you guys in on that? How many guys are kind of, I'd just as soon pass on bad consequences. Anybody in here ever had food poisoning? Anybody ever get up and say, "You know what? I think I'm going to go eat some rancid meat and get some food poisoning today." But in our souls, we do that. Walk circumspectly. What does that mean? Avoid mistakes and bad consequences. All right? not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many of you guys want your time redeemed? This is how you do it. And there's another place in the word where it says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Verse 17, therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Underline that, highlight that, but be filled with the Spirit. And don't live your life in the flesh. That's the idea of being drunk with wine here, is that you're living in the flesh. You're self-medicating. Okay, you're deflecting. You're trying to. It's not. Well, is it okay for me to have a glass of wine at dinner? If you got them, smoke them. I'm just telling you. If you're self-medicating in your flesh or with the world, man, that's not you walking circumspectly. All right. Now listen. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit, speaking to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. See, we're up here in verse 8 where it says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, the original text, the actual meaning is to being filled with the Holy Spirit. See, and I think a lot of times, any of you guys, anybody in here Pentecostal? Okay, let me put it another way, okay? And Bob Hurley Sr. is gonna be jigging here in a minute in the aisle, all right? But how many of you guys have the baptism? Remember that term? Yeah, see, there's a few old people. I'm telling you, it's everybody, they're bald and they're gray haired. It's like, I got the baptism. Man, these people, how many of you guys know these guys need the baptism? You know what I'm saying right there? But dear God, if they start saying amen, I'm taking it to the house. Okay. So we're being filled with the Holy Spirit. See, it's not a chance. See, when you come here, Chris. When you come to the altar and you give your life to Jesus and you're, wow, maybe you need a bigger size. But you need, that's like an 8, huh? But are you finished? Because you're answering an altar call right now. Okay? So he gives his life to Jesus, all right? And then he doesn't want to just stop there. He wants all of God that he could get. So we'll pray for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to receive, okay, now collectively there could be an amen after I say this, and get the baptism. Okay? And then it's like, okay, now go live your life. Like he just had this experience, it just happened. It's like, woo! Like to me, I was buzzing, and the buzz that I got was better than cocaine. That's what I thought. I'm like, this is really good. It was amazing. And I walked away not knowing what had happened, but here's what God did that day. He initiated me being filled with the Holy Spirit. See, right there in that reference in Ephesians, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's actually be being filled. So now we have to keep our lives in a place where we're being filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you do that can you do that anywhere where it doesn't glorify God? Can you be with people that are all fleshy and denying God in a place that doesn't glorify God? Can you be being filled in that place? Now just think about it. I'm not giving you the answer. You got to figure this out. See, where you are and who you're with has to matter. Write that down. It has to matter. You know, I mean, I remember Taylor Kennedy's in the back, wise sitting in the back, but there's two kinds of kids, and we learned this in junior high. There's good kids and there's fun kids. Okay, well, sure, you want to be with the fun kids, but let me just tell you, man, they end up, that route ends up going places that doesn't honor God. It ends up being where your flesh is flourishing. See, it's hard. Well, you got to walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as one who's wise. And we've got to be those people because we've got to put our lives. What you've done tonight is you put your life in a position that you could be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I'll tell you why. life on this earth without God, without being led by the Holy Spirit, without hearing and knowing his voice, is depleting to us spiritually. See, there's two terms that are Old Testament and even kingdom terms. It's fast and feast. Jesus said, these come out by prayer and fasting. And you're like, well, you got to quit eating if you want that demon out of there. No, it's that you're living a fasted life from the world, from the life that feasts, your flesh feasts on. See, when we fast and we don't eat, we're starving our flesh. We're fasting in regard to our flesh, but it gives us an opportunity to feast in the spirit. Like, I'm not going to cuss somebody out if I'm fasting. I might as well go eat. You know, if you're going to deny your flesh, like to me with food, if I'm going to deny my flesh, I'm going to deny my flesh. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like I'm going to go, well, you know, yeah, it's okay. I'm not going to eat, but no, like I tithe, okay? And I'm committed to the tithe. And I can't get that first 10% out of my hands, out of my account quick enough. And I'm just telling you, because I know the power and the ramification. I know how that, I want to walk circumspectly, not as a fool. So guess what? I'm committed to the tithe. But if I'm going to tithe, why would I cheat on my taxes? If I'm going to tithe, why would I go and gamble my money away? It doesn't make sense to me. If I'm going to do that, I might as well just skip it all. I mean, there's an issue here with the steps that we take, like the fast, or the steps that we take, like tithing, like coming to church, that our character factors in with this as well. That my integrity matters, that it's not just me going through the motions and checking the box. I went to church, I tithed, I skipped a few meals. See, that's not what this is. This is about us positioning our lives to being filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. See, that's what the world's looking for from us. The world's looking for a spirit-filled, spirit-led, life-giving group of people, and that's the church. It's not looking for a bunch of condemning people. Man, I was in a week-long meeting in Dallas with pastors a few months ago, and man, there was a guy there that's got a museum in right there in downtown Jerusalem, and reaching out to Jewish people. And you know what he said? He said, "Pastor Bill, man, the Jews think that Christians hate them." It's like, oh God, forgive us, man. I guarantee you that, man. There's people that are marching today. There's people protesting today that think that the church or Christians hate them or despise them. See, we can't be like that with anybody. We've got to love everybody. We've got to we've got to demonstrate love. Man, when I think of the racism, when I think of African Americans and Hispanic people in America that have got to try to fight for and stand up for who they are, it's like, no, you don't have to here. Man, it's about the blood of Jesus is all we care about here. And getting that blood into people's lives, the blood of Jesus, that what does it do? It remits sin. But you know what? The church for so long, man, the church was about pointing fingers and devaluing people. Oh my gosh, that we would ever devalue anybody. When the price that was paid for their life and their sin was Jesus. See, we've got to walk circumspectly here. We've got to understand that we've got to be a spirit-filled, spirit-led church that we know God's, we hear God's voice and we know it. In John 16:7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go. If I don't go, man, this helper, this strengthener is not going to be able to come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you." That means instead of them having to be physically where Jesus was all the time, now, you know what? By God's Spirit, he comes into our lives all the time. But let me tell you, we've got to be filled up with that. How do we do that? Man, we've got to be in the right place with the right people. But let me tell you, that has to do with God. That has to do with the person of Jesus as well. We've got to be in his word. Man, there's people, I remember Scott used to ask people, he'd just start asking them again. He's like, "Were you in the word today? What's your favorite verse? Give me your favorite verse." Man, we could play that Foghat song again and we could all probably sing it in here. Whether you like rock and roll or not, you know that song. It gets in us. See, that's how the word needs to get in us. See, what music does, what songs do, is they hit our lives emotionally. Man, it takes us back to where we heard it. The Word does that for me. I can tell you when "By Whose Stripes You Were Healed" came alive in my life. I was sitting on a chair at a church with a few hundred people thinking, what are we doing here? Why don't we take this to the hospitals? Why don't we take this to the nursing homes? Why don't we take this to the physically challenged? Why don't we take it to impaired? Why don't we? Oh my gosh. That's all I could think about. I'm like, okay, now wait a second. We've heard enough. See, that's what I want to say to you guys. I sat down with the staff today and I said, it's a new day. It's a brand new day for us. We're not just going to bring our best anymore. Our best isn't good enough anymore. And they're looking at me like I'm a crazed. I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring our best and then some. We're going to bring our best and then a little more. I remember when I was playing junior high football, and I remember this coach. He was a volunteer. He's a parent. But he said, let me tell you something, boys. We don't stop on the whistle. We play through the whistle. And somehow I got that. At the point of the whistle, I wasn't going to stop. When that whistle stopped is when I was going to stop. And, you know, I think that's who we have to be as Christians. We got to give our best. You know, instead of me saying, hey, Wes, are you doing your best? Or, hey, Brooklyn, are you doing your best? No, what am I going to say? Are you doing your best and then some? Man, that was expected of you. You're on the mound, and man, you're pitching against the guy, the winning run at third, and the 350 hitter up at the plate. You can't just I'm going to do my best. I'm going to see what happens. No, you got to get that guy out. That guy's got to pop up. That guy's got to take a called third strike. That guy's got to swing and miss. Man, we've got to be, we're Christians. Wake up. We've got to do our best and then some. And that's who we have to be. Man, if we go to Numbers, this you've heard this so much. 13:23, then they came to the Valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between the two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. See, let me just tell you, this Spirit-led life, there is fruit in it. There are going to be giants that are going to try to keep you from that fruit. The devil loves a sleeping church. The devil loves an apathetic church. The devil loves it when women have to drag their husbands into God's house. The devil loves that. And I don't know if I should say this or not. It just, I'll run into people. I say, hey, what's going on? How you doing? I'm doing good. I said, man, are you going to church anywhere? And they say, yeah. I said, wow, that's great. You're going to church. They said, yeah, you know, my wife loves it. Oh my gosh, there it is at another time where you want to grab them by the, and just a stiff stern, just a pop, just not hospitalize them, just wake them up. Maybe just outpatient kind of hospital care is all they'll need after that. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession. Everybody say, take possession. Say it again. Say it again. Say, take possession. See, it's not about us just going, oh, we're here. Let's set up shop. No, we've got to displace the giants before we can go and take that land. Somebody has to dispossess it before we could go and possess it. See, that's the funny thing, Chris. That's where these guys that are like, yeah, man, I'm equipped to take the land. It's just hard. There's giants in that land. Yeah, you got to get rid of them. How many of you guys have overcome some giants in your life? Let me see your hand. That's what this life is. This is a life of overcoming giants. Jebusites and descendants of Anak, and man, just it's like, oh my gosh. And then what did they say? They said, we can't beat these guys. I can't beat them in my eyes, much less beating them in their eyes. We're grasshoppers in their sight. Caleb had to be looking at this guy just thinking, you sissy. Are you kidding me? Were you at the same place I was at for 40 days? Did you see the cluster of grapes? How many of you guys ever bought a cluster of grapes? You carry it with two fingers, a finger and a thumb, like this, right? You come and you say, I want this cluster of grapes here. And these guys had to cut down a tree and make a pole, and two guys had to carry that cluster of grapes. That's how great the reward is. That's how great the harvest is. But see, the harvest comes when there's vision. The harvest comes. Let me tell you how this church started in my eyes. I had to just be confident. I had to just, you know what I had to do? I had to convince people I knew what I was doing when I knew I didn't know. Man, Joshua and Caleb didn't know how to whip those guys. They just knew they could. See, those other guys came down and they said, those guys are too big for us to beat. Man, Caleb looked over at Joshua and said, those guys are too big for us to miss. Man, we're not going to swing and miss at these guys because they're so... Man, the giant that you're facing, what if it's cancer? The giant that you're facing, what if it's debt up to here? You made so many bad decisions. God delivers you of your own destructions. He sent his word to give you life and life more abundant and deliver your destructions. God knew you were faulty. God knew that you had error. God just wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the game changer. Why you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Look in your Bible at Acts the 19th chapter. Acts 19. And we could start at the very beginning, okay? Acts 19, verse 1. And it happened. That's what I should have entitled this message, and it happened. While Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, now take a step back. What's a disciple? Follower of Jesus, right? See, go into all the world and make disciples. So here these disciples were, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That this is the first question, the very first question that Paul asked these guys. And they said, we never even heard there was a Holy Spirit. What the heck are you talking about? He said, then what are you baptized in? And he said, John's baptism, just like Jesus did, the baptism of repentance. No, but you guys are missing the Holy Spirit. That dove didn't come and light on you. He said, you're baptized in Jesus. And then Paul came and he laid hands on all the men, and they all received the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And the Bible says, and I think verse 7 or 8, and they were 12 in number, which is a significant number of people. How many apostles of the Lamb were they? How many original disciples were there? There were 12. So all Paul was doing was replicating what Jesus was about. See, do you have to understand that the disciples weren't filled with the Holy Spirit? After the Mount of Ascension, Jesus went up into heaven. He told them to go to the upper room. There were 500 men on the Mount of Ascension, but 120 ended up at the upper room. Those other 380 just had other things to do. They had other... And they waited 3 days. Man, you got to know, they sat there and said, after a day or two, they had to say, what are we doing here? Jesus just said, go and tarry, go and wait. They didn't know if they'd have to wait a month. But on the third day, on the third day, on the third day, you guys remember another third day? How many of you guys remember another third day? 12 disciples, 12 disciples, a third day, a third day. Let me just tell you, it's not, I appreciate the ability that God gave me as a spirit-filled believer that's available for everybody that I pray in an unknown tongue. God, let me just tell you, God put that in the kingdom for me personally. Because no matter how forgetful I am of things, I mean, how many times you've been in a service and I'll be ranting and you'll say, and I'll say, well, what was I talking about again? That never happens to me when I pray in the Spirit. But let me just tell you, what that does in the second chapter of Acts is you pray as the Spirit gives you utterance. It's God uttering through me. And I look at it, but my mind and my intellect, it's unfruitful. But listen, we can't focus on that. What we focus on is being filled. It's Wednesday. Have you gotten your fill up today? Are you ready for tomorrow? Can you walk into tomorrow that I'm more than a conqueror? It doesn't matter what foe I face. Devil, I know there are going to be some rascal giants in my path today. And I'm pretty good with it because they're too big for me to miss. See, the confidence that we have. See, that's all I had 25 years ago starting the church. It's just a confidence. It's one of those things where it's like, what have I got to lose? I've got a couple hundred bucks in the bank. I've got a wife and two babies, and they're all in. Man, they're counting on me to produce. And you know what production is in our lives now as Christians? It's not to sell more items or to buy more things or to create new patents. It's not what that is. Production in our life now is an overflow of ministry. Do you know what God's will in Bob Hurley's life is? Is for there to be an overflow of ministry, so he has to give some away. See, if the ministry that's in my life is just enough for me, I would not be following me if I were y'all. But if the overflow of if the ministry of my life creates an overflow, where somebody that's a relatively new believer could just, running in the race, they could just scoop some up. What are you doing, man? I'm just doing ministry. How did that happen? Man, they got a building next door to the church and they started a distribution center for the poor. And there's all these poor people that are coming in there and they're wanting groceries and they're wanting clothes. They're leaving. They leave with a basket overflowing with groceries, and they walk out with clothes like this. They walk out like they were. They're walking out like this. It's like, where are you going with all those clothes? I don't know, but they were free. They gave them to me. When you do that for people, they're going to be open to you praying for them. They're going to be open to you ministering to them. Man, I remember as a brand new Christian, I'd go across the street from our apartment complex at 33rd and Mingo. There was a 7-Eleven there. I think it's a pawn shop now. I'd just go over there by the gas pump, and they'd pull up, and I'd say, hey, how can I help you? And they said, what do you mean? I said, I'll pump your gas. How much you getting? Now, you go in and pay, I'll pump it. They'd say, man, I'm getting 10 bucks. I'd put 10 bucks in it. Man, I'd go and I'd wash their windshield. I'd wipe off their headlights, and they're saying, why are you doing this? I said, because there's an outside chance that if I do this for you, that you'll let me pray for you. I didn't know any better. I didn't know you should or shouldn't do that. But you know what? I don't remember a person saying, no, no, thank you. They'd say, okay. So you know what I'd do? I'd say, God, I just thank you right now for this guy. God, I thank you, your hands on his life. Matter of fact, will you pray with me? Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. God, I'm going to serve you from here on out. God, I'm going to heaven, and I'll never smell the scent of hell. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, good to see you. And they'd leave. And I think, you know what? I prayed for 30 people. I prayed for 50 people. I prayed for 80 people. And I came into church people, like Bible school people, they'd say, well, those true salvations. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I couldn't see their hearts. And at that point, I'd been a Christian a few months. I'm really hoping my salvation's true. I'm thinking, I'm just hoping this thing's stuck in my life. But do you understand? The whole idea, that was just getting ready for me just to get up here and say, is there anyone else? Is there one more? I'm in my heart. I'm still over at that gas pump. Man, if I could go and stand at a gas pump and do it, I would do that every day, all day. But let me just tell you, that's not what God's called me to now. God's called for my life to be an overflow of ministry, the production of my life, so that people can come in here, and you know what? Man, they can have ministry just handed to them. Do you understand we're in such a season of growth in this church? Do you understand there were 42-year-olds at church at 11 o'clock. There were 30 at 9:30. Man, there's people, if you got a heart for kids, we want to give you ministry. Man, you want to get better praying for people and helping people? Man, Friday morning at 10 o'clock, we got Friday groceries. You can pray with as many people as you want to. You're not, there aren't a whole lot of accolades. I guess in heaven there's going to be a gold star in your chore chart. But I think that helps you being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because, and I'll tell you what Friday groceries, I'm telling you what those two-year-olds mean to me. They're desperate. Those little two-year-olds in there, we got to build a bigger place for them because they run. Have you guys met Lucy King? No, you need a workout. Forget about CrossFit. Forget about Pilates. Forget it. Just go and spend the day with Lucy. Just do whatever Lucy does for 10 minutes. You will have abs of steel. You would have, your buns will be rocking. But those 2-year-olds, the people at Friday Girl, they're just desperate. Do you know that Jesus came for desperate people? He didn't come for the well. He came for the sick. No, I want a church full of well people. I don't think Jesus shows up at those churches. I think it's sick folk. If you're here and your life's not right with God, I want to pray with you and for you. And then I want to move to two other stages of ministry that I hope you're open for. Because I believe God has set the stage for you tonight to have a life change, to better your life. But if you're here and you need to get your life right with God, can you just put your hand up? I just want to pray with you and pray for you. You know what? Yeah, I saw. Yeah, thank you guys for, right? Do you mind if I just pray with everyone? How many of you guys need to get your life right with God? Just raise your hand. Okay, good. Okay, we're praying for everybody. Pray with me. Father God, I make a profession of faith tonight that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, whom I trust. God, I'm putting my trust in you. God, I'm displacing my attitude toward the flesh, feeding my flesh, and I'm possessing the land, that promised land that flows with milk and honey and audacious fruit. God, that's what I want in my life. Jesus is Lord of my life. And God, I thank you for the power of his resurrection to come upon me now in Jesus' name. Now, God, I ask you to fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit to abound in my life. Abound toward me tonight, God. Be the God of my life tonight and fill me with your spirit, with your character, with your ability. God, I thank you now that gossip and talebearing is not a part of my life. It's in my past. I seek after righteousness tonight, God. I walk circumspectly as one who's wise and not a fool. God, fill me tonight with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.